Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 5 of Could It Be Podcast. I'm pretty proud of myself for getting to a point where I've done something consecutively for more than 3 times. Generally, whenever I start something new, like, you know, a healthy eating plan, I normally get to finishing day 3 and I don't go any further than that. So welcome to episode 5. It is a surprise to me. Today I'm going to talk about what kind of things I'm doing and buying to prepare for my upcoming surgery. At the time of recording this podcast episode, I'm less than 2 weeks away from my explant surgery. So we're getting to the pointy end of it now. So all going ahead well, I'll be having my surgery on the 27th of June 2022. So that's less than 2 weeks away at the moment. So a bit excited, a bit nervous, and looking forward to having it all over and done with and seeing how I feel after the surgery. So I've been doing some reading. I've been having a look at the Facebook groups who talk about breast explant surgery, having a look at different forums online about what people suggest when it comes to their before, during and after surgery care. So I thought I'd share a bit of a list of what I've done. So I'm the kind of person that tries to prepare as much as possible for a situation so that when it comes to the actual time of it happening, there's less stress because I've got as much organized as possible. So firstly, what I did when I received my forms from the doctor about the hospital and what I need to do on the day, I got in touch with them just to check on things like visitors. So obviously there's a lot of restrictions when it comes to COVID and that kind of thing. So I was mindful of that and gave them a call just to see, you know, can I have visitors? Can my partner come with me on the day of the surgery? Anything that I need to be mindful of when it comes to any kind of restrictions. So at the moment, this particular hospital and in my particular state here in Australia, you can have one visitor per day and they can only come in once. So if that person leaves the premises, they can't come back. So we have to be mindful of that. So things like finding parking close by, because it's not in the CBD where there's an undercover car park available. It's kind of on the outskirts here. So we need to go for a bit of a drive in the lead up to it just to make sure that we find a car park where we're not going to get a fine for parking there for most of the day. So they were really helpful at my hospital and gave me a bit of a rundown on the situation. So we're all prepared for that. The next thing, so I discussed in one of my previous episodes, the vitamins that I receive on a regular basis from Vitable. So it's a subscription service where I receive monthly vitamin packs and they're broken down into day. And I normally take an omega-3 or fish oil tablet, but I have read somewhere and I remember somebody telling me that it's a natural anti-inflammatory. So it does slightly thin your blood and they do recommend that you don't take that in the 2 weeks or so in the lead up to an operation. So I have switched that out for a vitamin B12 instead of the fish oil. It's really easy to do with that particular company. I have an app on my phone where I've set up a reminder to take my vitamins per day, and you can also manage your subscription on that same app. So I just basically took out my fish oil, added in a vitamin B12. And the reason for choosing vitamin B12, I read online that it can help with cellular regeneration and healing after a surgery. So I thought that might be a good option just to switch those two around for a little while. The next thing I've been mindful of is my fitness. So I've switched in the last week or so just to working mostly on cardiovascular fitness and core strength. There's not really any point in me being in a strength phase at the moment and building up any more muscle. So doing lots of walks, taking the dogs for a walk when it's not raining, and it's raining all the time at the moment here, doing some Pilates and core type work just so that when I need to get myself up out of bed, I don't necessarily need to use my arms to help myself up. I can use my abdominals to get up and not stretch the area that's been operated on, seeing what I can do to get some strength through there. Doing lots of RPM and sprint classes at home. There's another cycling class that I do on the Les Mills Plus app called The Trip, and it's an immersive experience where there's a video of a track that you are on, and my partner and I have jumped onto doing that one a bit more often as well. So that's a really good cardio workout. And I'm just in general being gentle with myself. I'm not pushing myself too hard. I am very tired at the moment and finding that my muscles do fatigue really quickly still. So I'm not forcing myself into doing something if I don't feel like it on the day. If I'm really tired, I give myself a rest or have a bit of a stretch and a walk instead of anything more intense. Now, the next one, my specialist didn't give me a heads up about this one, but I have read a lot of women talking about it. But you do need to sleep on your back in the few weeks after your surgery. I am generally a side sleeper, so I will struggle with that. I have struggled with it in the past when I've had other surgeries, but I tend to be able to get through unwillingly. I don't really like it. And another thing that they do talk about, that it is more comfortable to sleep with your shoulders or your upper body slightly elevated. So what I've done is I've jumped online and had a look at different wedge type pillows. And on an Australian website, it's catch.com.au, I've purchased a wedge pillow for behind my upper body, but then also another one for underneath my knees. So that would mimic sleeping on your side with that kind of shape. The brand that I've purchased is Luxtreme. I couldn't find an Instagram for them or anything, but I'll share a photo of them on my Instagram, which is the Could It Be II podcast Instagram. I'll share a bit of a post on anything that I have bought in relation to this surgery prep on the Instagram page in the next week or so. Another thing that I'm doing is that I am slowly training myself to sleep on my back so that it's not a huge rude shock to the body when I do have to after the surgery. One thing I've purchased is post-surgery crops. My specialist did say to me at the time of my visit with her that soft crop tops are fine for after the surgery. I'm not having a lift or anything. I'm just having the explant done and the capsules taken out with the implants. So there's no need for a compression crop top as far as I'm aware. I've found that Target Australia have some really nice ones and they're a really good price as well. So I figured something that can be done up at the front rather than done up at the back or pulled over my chest would probably be more comfortable. So I've purchased some post-surgery bras from Target and they do up at the front. I've grabbed them in my normal size and I have grabbed them the size up as well, just in case there's any swelling and any discomfort from the surgery. I have read also in some of the Facebook groups that Kmart do sell a really good one as well. So that's something that I'll look at doing in the next week or so, jumping into a Kmart store and seeing what they've got on offer. Another thing when it comes to crop tops and bras, I was also really worried about what bras might fit me once I have healed from the surgery. Currently about a 16C in Australian sizes, so I am a curvier girl, I guess is the word to use there. And it is hard to find bras that are around the same size around my body, but then a smaller cup size, so a 16A or a 16B. I really struggled to come across anything of a good quality in those sizes. But I have seen lots of bralettes recently, and they've been available in department stores like Target, Big W and Kmart, and they're really quite pretty, they're quite feminine, and they tend to sell them in your t-shirt size, so you don't actually need to look for a specific cup size for those. So I've purchased a couple of different ones just to see what works for me after the operation, and I'll report back on what works well for me, what's really comfortable. For me, the biggest thing is going to be about comfort. I don't really mind about how they look or anything like that. Just want to be comfortable and heal well after this surgery. A bit of a tradition for me when it comes to any surgery is to buy myself new pajamas. My mum started it on my very first operation, where we only had about 2 days to prepare for major surgery. She's like, right, the first thing we're going to get you are some nice new pajamas, because you'll need a lot of time to rest after this operation. So one thing I have bought, and I've read this as well, people do suggest that you do get button-up pajamas. It's winter here in Australia at the moment, so they're in stock, which is really great. I am quite warm when I sleep though, so I find that flannelette pajamas, one, they're a bit restrictive, and two, they get me to a point where I'm too warm. So I've found some really nice cotton long sleeve and long pants button up pajamas on, I think it's Kashia. I'll tag them in the Instagram when I do share the photo. I'm not quite sure on the pronunciation there. And Orange Sherbet, they're up in Queensland, I believe. They've also recently stocked pajamas as well, so I've bought some from both of those. And they're really comfortable. I have been wearing them before the surgery just to get used to them and make sure the sizing is okay. And yeah, really happy with both products. So I'll be definitely packing them for in the hospital and wearing them when I get home. Another thing that I've purchased is zip up hoodies. So again, I've just gone to the local department stores and had a look at their cheaper options. Anything zip up or do up at the front will be easier to manage after the operation, not stretching anything, not pulling anything over the operation sites. And if I've got things like drains for a few days, zip up hoodies and button up tops are going to be more comfortable. So I've made sure that I've got some of those, and particularly for when I come home from the hospital as well. This may be me overthinking, but I've cut my hair short a few weeks out from the surgery. So much of my hair has fallen out and continues to fall out that there was no point in keeping it long. So it's about shoulder length at the moment, and it will just be easier to manage after the surgery. It'll be quicker to blow dry, where I won't need to blow dry it. I won't need to hold my arms up longer to get my hair dry. Yeah, so I've done that. And other things like making sure the house is going to be comfortable. And I have purchased a really nice candle so that I can have that burning when I'm at home and wanting to relax. I might also purchase myself some more Xbox games just to keep myself occupied. I get bored very easily, especially when I can't move around and exercise. So I will need things that will take up a bit of brain space. So I'll have a look at what I can buy before then too. I remember waking up from one of my major surgeries and telling my sister she needed to go to the shops right now and buy me a Tamagotchi. And I was probably in my mid-20s when I asked for this. Yeah, it was just something that I randomly wanted and wanted to keep me busy. And she did it. She went off and got me two Tamagotchis, and I was a very happy girl. Other things that I'll do in the lead up, so the weekend before the surgery, a big clean up of the house so that I don't have to worry about it when I come home. Things like changing the sheets so that they're nice and fresh, so I get to spend a lot of time sleeping in nice clean sheets. We'll do a big grocery shop as soon as we can before the surgery as well. I'll try and be mindful of grabbing things that will be easy for me to prepare. So when I get home from hospital and my partner's at work, I can put a wrap together quickly and not have to worry about standing up for too long if I'm tired or cutting vegetables or that kind of thing. So just thinking ahead of what I can do to make life easier when I am home during the day. So I'll be having my bags packed the weekend leading up to the surgery as well. I'll be making sure that I include things like dry shampoo. My hair gets oily so quickly, and I can't stand the feeling of it when it is oily. I know that there are people that are able to wash their hair like once or twice a week, but that's not me. And I wish that I could avoid washing it as often as I do. But yeah, I'm really mindful of the fact that I might not be able to lift my arms up to wash my hair. And if the drains are in, it might make it a little bit difficult as well. So packing some dry shampoo to try and avoid my hair getting too oily. I'll pack toiletries so that if I can have a shower, I've got everything there. We're packing the post-surgery crop tops, clothes to come home in, some books, my iPad to keep notes on how I'm feeling. I might even download a couple of episodes or movies to my streaming services so that I've got something to keep me occupied while I am in hospital. My partner is coming into the hospital on the day of the surgery, as I mentioned before, so I'll make sure that there's plenty of snacks available for him. I'm really grateful that I've got somebody in my life that is that considerate and it is going to be there for me. So I just want to make the day as easy for him as well, and especially when he can't leave the premises to go out and buy anything, I'll make sure that there's some food in the bags for both of us. And yeah, that's everything that I can think of that I'll be packing. I know I'll get to the last minute and be like, oh, I need to add this and this and this, and end up packing too much. It's just how I roll, but it's better to be over prepared, I guess. Other things that I need to do in the lead up to the surgery, and this is probably common knowledge, but if you haven't had surgery before, you need to make sure that you don't have any nail polish on, and preferably I think no fake nails, because they do need to do that little oxygen saturation test, which they put on your index finger from memory, and it can't read it very well if you've got fake nails or nail polish on. So I'll make sure all of that kind of stuff's removed. You don't wear earrings. I think they suggest not wearing like moisturizers and that kind of thing on the day of the surgery as well. It's been about 5 years since my last operation, so it may have changed, but I'll just do all of those things just so I've covered all bases. When it comes to the day of the surgery, this is weird for me. The admission is 12 o'clock midday. I normally have a 7:30 a.m. admission, and I've been really lucky with most of my surgeries, except for the last one. I've gone in pretty quickly. I've normally been in surgery by 10 a.m. But my last one, I went in at 7:30, and I didn't get out into the operating theatre until about 2:30 in the afternoon. As you can imagine, I was starving. But yeah, 12 o'clock admission means that, you know, hopefully I'll be in surgery pretty quickly after that and starting the healing process. I have told my manager that I'll try to work from home in the morning. He said, look, there's absolutely no pressure for you to do that, but I may reconsider that because I know I'll probably be too nervous to actually function properly that morning. I probably wouldn't be bringing any value to my work that morning. So yeah, I'll have a chat with him about that as well. So because it is a 12 o'clock admission, I can have a light breakfast before 7 a.m., which will be a bit of a struggle for me. I normally It's not like I try to intermittent fast, but I don't eat breakfast until I'm hungry. So that can be anywhere from 9 till 10 a.m. If I eat any earlier than that nowadays, I tend to feel a little bit ill. So I'll just have something really light, like a small smoothie or a banana or something, just to have something in my stomach and I can have clear fluids up until 9 a.m. When it comes to leaving for the hospital, I get a bit nervous about getting to places on time. It's not really that far to drive there. It might be half an hour maximum, and being in the middle of the day, we won't really have the traffic that we'd have first thing in the morning or peak time after work. But I'll probably leave to allow myself a lot of extra time to get there early, and there will be extra things that need to be done when going into the hospital because of COVID restrictions. So, you know, the earlier we get there, the less likely we are to make the hospital staff run late. Another thing I remember having when it came to leaving hospital for any of my previous surgeries, so obviously the tissue expander insertion, the breast implants, and then any of my women's health surgeries that I've had, it's been a lot more comfortable getting home in the car with a pillow sitting around my stomach just to support my torso. So I'll be making sure that we have one of my U-shaped pillows in the car to have and to keep me comfortable. And things like seat belts might be a little bit uncomfortable sitting in certain spots, so I'll just have to sort of reconfigure how that sits so that I'm comfy on my way home. I think I've mentioned in a previous podcast that I'll probably need around a week off of work from my, I have like a desk job. So I've chatted with my workplace about that and they're absolutely fine with it. I'll get a medical certificate from the doctor once we sort of know how my healing is going, just in case I do need a bit longer. Yeah, we'll hear from me when I'm able to get in touch with him about it. I'm really lucky that I've got a good supportive friendship group. So one of my best friends, sorry, there goes the dog again. She wants dinner. One of my best friends can come and sit at home with me if I'm concerned about being home on my own. My mum lives quite close and my younger sister has offered to come and visit with her two kids if I need some company too. So, you know, this is going to be a bit of an emotional ride for me. It's a big change in my body. It's something that I've been used to for the last 16 years. And as much as the symptoms are quite a negative thing, the body image has been a positive thing for me. So, you know, the emotional support is going to be important during these times. My workplace has an employee assistance program. So if I do feel that if I am struggling with my mental health after this surgery, I will reach out and get support where I feel like I need to. Yeah, so I think that covers everything that I can think of at the moment that I will need to do and purchase in the lead up to the surgery. So by the time you're hearing this, I think it'll be about a week out from the actual operation. The next episode that you will hear will be where I go through all of the previous surgeries that I've had. So I think this is about surgery number 12, and I'll give you a bit of a list on everything I've been through. Looking at me, you wouldn't know that I've been through so many operations. You know, the scars are always well hidden, but that there is a lot that I've been through, you know, in between the ages of 19 and 30, really. So I'll share that because very interesting health history, really. So yeah, that'll be the next episode that you hear. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how this all goes, and I will be taking notes on how I'm feeling in the hospital, and I might even jump on and record, you know, small snippets every day on how I'm feeling. So if anyone that is listening to this is thinking of going through the same thing themselves, they'll have a bit of a guide as to how one person experiences it. Obviously, it can be different from one person to the next. Thanks again for listening in. Feel free to get in touch with me if you've got any other suggestions on the Could It Be II podcast on Instagram. And I will speak to you next time. Ciao. This podcast shares my own experience and research. I'm not a medical or health professional. You can find me on Instagram at Could It Be II podcast. Thank you to my incredibly talented partner, Jacob Tengdahl, for the intro and outro music. All recording, editing, and artwork is done by me. Thank you for listening.